สมหันตชักขาวเลสุอัตรากัจฉันตุเทวตาสัตตัมมังมุนีราชาสาสุนันตุสกามโอคะดังธัมมสวนากาโลอยังบาดันดาธัมมสวนากาโลอยังบาดันดาธัมมสวนากาโลอยังบาดันดานะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะ Okay, today I'm not going to continue my talk. I'm not going to continue my talk yesterday. So upon request, I changed my topic. I think suitable for today's audience as well. Okay, otherwise you cannot follow. So today I'm going to talk about the four factors for becoming a stream enterer. We all come to practice the Dhamma with the aim to become a noble one. With the aim to become a stream enterer. Therefore, we must know what are the prerequisites, what are the factors that lead to becoming a stream enterer. You may not understand what is stream enterer. What is the meaning of stream? Stream means noble effort path. Enterer, a person who enter into noble effort path is called stream enterer. And in the practice of the teaching of the Buddha, the path divides into four. And the first attainment is called stream enterer. And this stream enterer, what is the benefit by attaining stream enterer? The most valuable benefit is he or she never fall into four woeful states. He may, after attaining stream enterer, he may enjoy sensual pleasures, but never worry of falling into four woeful states. I would like to give an example in Sanyutta Nikaya. There is regarding Mahanamma. Mahanamma is Sakyan, I think it's Sakyan prince. So one day, he reported to the Buddha. He said, "Venerable sir, this Kapilavatthu, he stay in Kapilavatthu, is rich and prosperous, clouded with congested people and thoroughfares. So in the evening, when I am entering Kapilavatthu, after visiting the blessed one, worthy of respect, then I come across a stray elephant, a stray horse, many beautiful women, clouded with villagers, and so on." This means that when he entered into the city, the mind, the eyes, and the mind was occupied by this sensual object. And he said, "On that occasion, Venerable Sir, my mindfulness regarding the Blessed One becomes mother. Become not clear. My mindfulness regarding the Dhamma becomes unclear. My mindfulness regarding the Sangha also becomes unclear. The thoughts then occurs to me. If at this moment I should die while enjoying sensual pleasures by the eyes, okay? If at this moment I should die, what would be my destination? What would be my future reborn, rebirth? So he was so worried. If I die while enjoying sensual pleasures through my eyes or through my ears and so on, what would be my destination? Then Buddha said, don't be afraid, Mahanama. Don't be afraid. Your death will not be a bad one. Your demise will not be a bad one. When a person's mind has been fortified over a long time by faith, virtue, learning, generosity, and wisdom, right here, crows, vultures, hawks, dogs, jackals, or various creatures eat his body, consisting of form composed of the four great elements originating from mother and father, subject to impermanence, to being worn and rubbed away, to breaking apart, but his mind, which has been fortified over a long time by faith, virtues, learning, generosity, and wisdom, that goes upwards, goes to distinction. Okay. So, this, why Mahanamas, although he is enjoying sensual pleasures, but there's no worry. Buddha said, you don't have to worry. Even though if you die at that moment, you discard your body, but your mind will only go upward, never go down. Because Mahanama is stream enterer. So what I want to say is that this is the greatest benefit for stream enterer. When you become stream enterer, the gate of four woeful states shut completely. You have no more worry of death. Because after that, you have better destination. And your mind only go upward, never go down. So this is the greatest benefit to become stream enter. And you have full enlightenment at the end. Regardless whether you want it or not. Even you do an arahant, your end also will reach arahant once you become stream enterer. The maximum takes you 7 life. So 7 life, you feel that, no, I don't want to become arahant. No, not possible. You will achieve arahant. Okay? So it's called fixed destination. So this is the greatest benefit to become stream enterer. Then what are the factors for becoming a stream enterer? Number one. Please write down, it's important for you. Associate with wise person. Karyanamita. Associate with wise person. However, Buddha say in another Anguttara Nikaya, in order to know who is wise person, you must have some foundation. Otherwise, you cannot recognize who is wise person. Right? The fool will never understand who is the fool. But the wise understand who is the fool and who is the wise. Right? So in Anguttara Nikaya, however, I forgot the number, the sutta number. He said that first, you must have wisdom in order to distinguish, in order to understand this person, is it wise companion or wise friend or not. And also you must be staying with him for a long time and observant. Right? And this wise person must equip or endowed with learning. Learning the sutta, learning the Abhidhamma, learning the teaching of the Buddha. And he also must be a practitioner. Not only theory, not only learning in theory, but he himself must be practitioner, practice what the Buddha taught to a certain extent. And this wise person must be able to dispel all your doubt. Must be able to guide you along the path. Because during the practice, there are some, you know, hindrances, some doubts that arise in you. And if you approach the wrong person, you end up in wrong destination. But if you approach the correct person who can show you the correct path, who can clarify your doubt, dispel all your doubt, and overcome and give the way to help you to overcome all the hindrances, then you will reach correct destination. So by associating with a wise person, you are secure, you are safe, and you have confidence you can finish the path because the wise companion constantly give you encouragement whenever you need. But you need to approach him and her, otherwise, you know, Kariyamita will not approach you first. Buddha will never simply give Dhamma talk if no one requests. Okay? So this is the first criteria for becoming a stream enterer if you have the chance, opportunity to associate with the wise. However, as I say, you must be a wise person in order to know who is wise. Okay. Second criteria to become a stream enterer is listening to true Dhamma. Listening to Dhamma and listening to true Dhamma, these are two different things. If you're listening to entertaining Dhamma, it makes you happy, laugh. After you get up from meditation hall, people ask you, what is the monk talk about? What is the speaker talk about? I don't know. I just laugh and laugh. That's all. This is called entertaining Dhamma. So Buddha said, listening to true Dhamma. He emphasized true Dhamma. So what is true Dhamma? I would like to quote from Sutta. From Anguttara Nikaya. You see, I give a Dhamma talk, I have to bring out all Sutta to tell you that this is not what I say. This is what Buddha said. Okay? So Buddha gives advice to Bhikkhuni Gotami. He said, what is true Dhamma? Gotami, those things of which you might know. This thing, there are eight things. We call true Dhamma. These things lead first to dispassion, not to passion. If you practice Dhamma, then you become more passionate. You attach to this more. You attach to your mind and body more. You attach to your family more. You attach to your career even more. Then this Dhamma, not the true Dhamma, because it leads to more attachment and passion. So from time to time, you have to check yourself. Okay? The second, these things lead to detachment, not to bondage. Almost same like first one. The third, these things lead to dismantling, dismantle, not to building up. For example, after practicing the Dhamma, you want to earn more money, you want to have more bungalow, you want to have more car, from kanjia change to musti. So you want to build up more and more your territory, your property, your belonging, then this is called not the true Dhamma. You have learned, but you do not learn the true Dhamma. Okay? So this Dhamma is not for building up, but for dismantling. Okay? Number four. Those things that lead to fewness of desires, not to strong desires. Desires can be applied to six sense space, six sense object, or to whatever desire you have, to your family, to your career, to your mind and body as well. Or you desire to have more life to come. You have desire to enjoy your life in the heaven. Because in the heaven, especially men, female, men deva. Men deva, if you are powerful men deva, when you appear in the heaven, you have 500 deities, female deity on your right side, and 500 female deities on your left side, waiting for you to enjoy sensual pleasures. This is how some of the terrorists, they are promised, if you can kill those who are not believer on what, then you, when you kill them, you, or you bomb, commit suicide, you will be reborn in heaven with all this woman surrounded you. This one Islam told me one. Huh? Because I don't understand their teaching at all. However, I don't think all think in this way. Okay, only some extremists think in that way. Okay. So these things lead to fewness of desires. Your desire become less and less, less and less, not more and more. So from time to time, please check your practice. Okay. Then number five, these things lead to contentment, not to non-contentment. When you practice the Dhamma, when you listen to the true Dhamma, as you practice according to the true Dhamma, you feel that you become easily contented. You don't demand so much. For example, you come to, you know, retreat, whatever food other people offer to you, you feel very contented. You don't say that, this food is not good, the drink is not good. Then you become, you are not contented. This shows that your attitude, your mental, your mentality shows that you are not progressing in the Dharma. When you progress in the Dharma, you want less and less, not more and more. Okay? And the next, number six, these things lead to solitude, not to company. So after practicing the Dhamma for a period of time, many people will come to me and tell me, say, Sister Sally, after practicing the Dhamma, I want to stay alone. I don't like to associate with so many people as before. Then I say, correct. This is the way. If after practicing the Dhamma, you want to have more friends, you want to go out for social more and more, then this is not correct. Buddha say, not I say, don't blame me, okay? I quote the sutta from what Buddha said. So from time to time, you check yourself. Because if you associate with more people, you accumulate more defilements. Especially those who are not a practicer, who are not practicing the Dhamma. They have different view from you. Then you keep on dispute with them, quarrel with them, argue with the views. Then what they say will influence you as well if you are not firm in your practice. They cause a lot of restlessness, cause a lot of doubt, a lot of deformance. Therefore, after learning the Dhamma, you want to have more time for yourself. You want to have more time to listen to the Dhamma, to practice the Dhamma, so you don't have time for association with other people. But you can associate with Dhamma friend because this group of Dhamma friend support each other. So long you are not independent in your practice, you need Karyanamita. A group of practitioners who practice the same thing, who have same view to support each other. You cannot be alone if you are not strong in your practice. Okay. Number seven. these things lead to the arousing of energy, not to laziness. So the true Dhamma can arouse your energy. You want to practice harder and harder. You want to practice more and more. Especially when you go back home. If you become more and more lazy, then you are not practicing the true Dhamma. Because the true Dhamma gives you joy, happiness. So in order to have joy and happiness, you need to arouse your energy. Otherwise, how can you get the Dhamma that give you joy and happiness? Therefore, whenever you go back home, you have, in order to achieve, to have more joy and happiness in the Dhamma, you need to apply or to arouse your energy, not to become more and more lazy. Okay? The last one. These things lead to being easy to support, not to being difficult to support. For a layperson, and when you come for retreat, some people, especially in my center, we don't have comfortable dwelling. I cannot give you each one single room with bathroom attached. This in USA, single room with bathroom attached, each day costs you $150. Or may cost you, without bathroom attached, single room, maybe cost you $80 to $100. And here, I don't charge you even a cent, right? All depend on your donation. If you like to give donation, you give it happily. We never ask you must pay 5 cents for a cup of drink. we do not limit you, don't use heater. We do not limit you anything. You do whatever you want. We try to provide you anything we can to let you have comfortable dwelling as much as we can. If you request more, then you are a person, Buddha said, difficult to support. You become a person so difficult to support, then, of course, you will not like this place. So, if you are fussy and complaining, then it shows that you are not progressing in the Dharma. Because Buddha said, if you practice the true Dharma, it leads to easy to support. Not to being difficult to support. Some people complained, my center, the bathroom is so small. Even that small thing also, he or she complained. I don't think she has concentration of the mind. Some people complain, the other party, small room, hot, and food, so far nobody complained. We try our best to give you the best food. So far nobody complained about the food. But people complain the dwelling, complain bathroom too small, complain too hot. Too hot, I have to ask the Deva in the sky, please, during my retreat, rain. If every day rain, people complain, too much rain. So we cannot complain. The only thing we can do is keep on contemplating the defilements that is arising in your mind. But this satisfaction arises, contemplate it as what? Impermanent. Not myself. If too hot, then contemplate heat element. Fire element as not myself. There's not a place you can be 100% satisfied. Not possible. Sometimes you can come to a very good place, but the teaching of the speaker is not satisfying. So you have some missing part again, right? Therefore, the only thing is that wherever place you go, don't complain. Try to check your mind. Whatever refinements that arise in your mind, note it. It gives you an opportunity to see your refinement and to contemplate it constantly so that you gain the strength of the Dhamma. When you have the strength of the mind, you will never complain because Dhamma gives you so much joy and happiness. Right? When I was in Burma, every morning we eat red bean and white porridge. Every day. Same thing. If I want to complain, the only choice I have is to leave. Right? Leave the place. This is the end of the suffering. Right? But so long my desire, my energy, my desire for the Dhamma is still there, I can cope with all difficulties. This is called arousing your effort, arousing your energy so that you become easy to support. You become easily contented. Okay? So Buddha said, after this eight Dhamma, the true Dhamma, when you listen to the true Dhamma, this leads to these eight things. And this is the Dhamma, this is the true Dhamma, this is the discipline, this is the true teaching of the Buddha. So, listening to the true Dhamma. So, what type of true Dhamma can lead to these eight things? First is Four Noble Truths. Constantly listen to Four Noble Truths can lead to these eight things. Okay, because my time is very short now, I'm not going to deal with this second criteria. Okay, the third one, the first one, to become stream enterer, you must associate with wise friend. The second one, listen to true Dhamma. The third one, wise attention. Or wise attention or careful attention. In the sutta, Buddha said, what is wise attention? What is careful attention? Attend to five aggregate carefully as impermanent, as suffering, as non-self is called wise attention. Yoniso manasikara. Okay, and I'd like to quote from Sanyutta Nikaya. Kanda Sanyutta, Mahakotita. One day, he approached Venerable Sariputta and asked him a very important question. However, the question he asked, until now, I did not see any speaker talk about it. Okay? So what is the question he asked? Mahakotita asked Venerable Sariputta, what are the things that a virtuous bhikkhu or a virtuous yogi, you are the yogi, okay, not only bhikkhu, should carefully or wisely attend to so that he can become stream enterer? Directly, a question which the practitioner should know. Let me repeat. What are the things that a virtuous yogi should carefully or wisely attend to so that he can become stream enterer? Listen carefully, okay? Venerable Sariputta answered. If a virtuous monk or a yogi should attend to five aggregate subject to clinging as first impermanence. You may say impermanent again. My teaching is all impermanent. No? So attend to five aggregate subject to clinging as first one impermanent. Second, disintegrating. Disintegrating means vanishing, passing away. Okay? Then the third one, attend to five aggregate subject to clinging as dukkha, suffering. The fourth one, attend to five aggregates subject to clinging as a disease. So when you see your body, sometimes the moment you sit, after 20 minutes, pain come. Then you note vanishing, it goes away. After 1 minute, another pain come. You note vanishing, it goes away. Another pain come. So although the pain subsides, you feel bliss, but another pain come, you feel suffering again. So comes and go, arising and passing away, you feel this body is like disease. When you feel this body is like disease, then you attend to it, you pay wise attention to it, the body is like disease. This is how you pay wise attention to it. Okay? Then as a tumor, same thing. If you deny the word disease, then you can see your body like a tumor, difficult to remove. The pain in the body is so difficult to remove. So you attend to it as a tumor, or as a dart, arrow, as a dart. When the dart go into your body, it's so difficult to extract it, to take it out. So you feel the pain, the dart enter into the body, pierce into your body, you feel it's so painful. Similarly, all four elements, the form, the feeling is painful like that. You may think unpleasant feeling is painful like that is correct. No one can deny it. But how about pleasant feeling? Why pleasant feeling is also like that? Sometimes you have very good pleasant feeling. This time meditation is so good. You have so pleasant feeling. You enjoy it so much. Then after that, tomorrow you sit again, expect that pleasant feeling to come. So you try so hard and yet nothing happened. No pleasant at all. And because you try so hard with great expectation, you end up in unpleasant feeling. So why pleasant feeling is like that? Because of its impermanent, because of its unable to control. You cannot control your pleasant feeling. You cannot have pleasant feeling all the time as you want. When you want it, it never comes. When you do want it, it comes. So you feel that, no, it's like that. Very painful also. So pleasant feeling should be contemplated as painful as well. Okay. Then as misery, your feeling, your perception. You perceive everything is beautiful, you perceive everything is happiness. But your life, your practical, your life tell you no. Suffering more than happiness. So having this perception to perceive everything is happiness is also miserable. Because it's wrong perception, distorted perception. And you also can attend to the five aggregates as an affliction, sickness. Having the mind is also like sickness, affliction, like misery, like that. Your mind, you please ask your mind, when can your mind have a chance to rest without thinking of anything? When? Sleep, yes. Sleep is most enjoyable time because you don't have to think of anything. Even a yogi, vipassana yogi, you keep on contemplating anicca, dukkha, vanishing. After some time, your mind gets very tired. And when you get very tired, you should go back to Anapanasati. When you go back to Anapanasati, but when you go back to Anapanasati, also very restless. The mind also thinks this and thinks that. So you say, wow, what troublesome, what misery having the mind. Never stop running here and there like monkey. When can the mind stop? If you have this type of intuition, or you have this type of experience, so at this moment, you should contemplate having the mind is miserable. Having the mind is like, having the mind is like a dart, the mind is like a tumor. So the only thing you want, you can let your mind stop is go into deep sleep. But nowadays, to have deep sleep also difficult. Huh? When you lie down, thinking again, then sometimes dreaming. In the dream, there also the mind continue to, although it's very weak mental state, but the dreaming also gets, also makes you exhausted. So you long for one day, the mind can stop. Body is easy to discard. When you die, you throw away your body. But you cannot throw away the mind. The mind has to keep on going. Arising, passing away, arising, passing away. It is for this reason why some arahant, they want to enter into Nirodha Samapatti, the attainment of cessation. Nirodha Samapatti, Mie Chinting. When they enter into Nirodha Samapatti, they make a determination, may the mind stop for 7 days. Let me rest for 7 days. May the mind stop for 7 days, then he will stay there by a banana stem for 7 days. To us, we say that, no, enjoyable. Like a banana stem, how to enjoy sensual pleasures. Cannot think, cannot daydreaming, you know, cannot do anything. To us, not enjoyable at all. To him, wow, bliss. No body, no mind, bliss. That's why what we perceive happiness to the mind of noble one is suffering. What the noble one perceives as suffering, we perceive as happiness. Therefore, all these are called distorted, perverted view, perverted perception. So in this way, we behave differently from noble one. Okay? Okay, so previously I said contemplate five aggregate subject to clinging as anicca, as disintegrating. This two is called anicca nupassana. Anicca nupassana. Anicca impermanent. Anu mean anicca dupassana mean anicca anupassana. Anu mean repeatedly. Pasana means seeing. So repeatedly seeing five aggregate subject to clinging as impermanent, impermanent, as vanishing, as disintegrating. Okay? And the following one, to see, perceive five aggregate subject to clinging as suffering, as disease, as a tumor, as a dart, as a misery, as an affliction, this is dukkha nupassana, satipatthana. Dukkha nupassana. Dukkha is suffering. Nu means anu. Anu means repeatedly. Passana means seeing. Repeatedly seeing five aggregate as suffering. As suffering, as disease, as tumor, and so on. Okay? And the last three, Venerable Sariputta says, pay wise attention to the five aggregate subject to clinging as alien. Alien. Like stranger. When you see the five aggregate as alien, you don't cling to them as I, my, myself. You see it as a stranger. Cannot. It's beyond your control. Right? We cannot control stranger. Even your son and daughter, which whom they are not the stranger, also you cannot control. Right? So our body also, mind and body also, we cannot control. If you think you can control your mind and body, this is the manifestation of atta only. The manifestation of self. Okay? Then the next one, you contemplate them as empty. Empty. If you say, how can it empty? My mind and body is here. No, empty means empty of self. Empty of self. Then you contemplate them as non-self. So there are two ways to contemplate anicca. There are six or seven to contemplate as dukkha, and the last three you contemplate it as alien, as empty, as non-self is called anatta nupassana. Repeatedly contemplate repeatedly seeing five aggregates as non-self, empty, and void or alien. Then, as a conclusion, Venerable Sariputta said, when you can attend wisely or carefully to five aggregate subject to clinging as above what I say before, then it is possible that you or he may realize the fruit of stream entry. So for this reason, my teaching always emphasize contemplate anicca, vanishing, contemplate suffering, contemplate non-self, to help you to become stream enterer faster. Okay? Okay, so the last criteria, the last factor for becoming a stream enterer is a practice in accordance with the Dharma. Practice in accordance with the Dharma. What are the practice in accordance with the Dharma? You got to practice sila, taking your precept, purify your virtues, sila, samadhi, panya. Practice morality, concentration, and wisdom. How to practice wisdom, I have shared with you through this retreat already. How to practice concentration, I have teach you anapana already. Right? And the virtues you purify by taking the 8 precepts. So if you complete this sila, samadhi, panya, you will achieve stream enterer. Okay, I have more to talk, but I don't think I have time. So let me end the talk today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Stephen, is it clear? The talk is for him. Because he inspired to become Sotapan. Not he only, many of us. Okay.